Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past couple of weeks. And I think given that it's the start of the year, we need to discuss some of the recent developments surrounding global financial market performance, particularly bonds and equities that have weakened appreciably over the last month. Obviously, a lot of that relates to expectations of what President Trump will introduce in terms of policies. Some of it relates to expectations on US interest rates and concerns about inflation staying high for longer within the US. So quite a lot to unpack in terms of recent US economic data. The second topic I think is worthwhile to discuss is South Africa's currency. It's weakened appreciably in the last couple of weeks, and part of that obviously relates to the dollar strength, but I don't think that's the whole story, and so I think it's useful to make one or two points around what's happening to discussion on U.S. Economic developments and how that might be impacting bonds and equities around the world. The first discussion point is obviously there's a huge amount of uncertainty around what Trump is going to introduce. We know the types of policies that he's looking to implement, but how aggressive he's going to be, particularly around import tariffs, that remains highly uncertain. And so the market is trying to digest any sort of comments from the Trump administration regarding possible policy implementation and trying to gauge what that might mean for economic growth and, importantly, what that might mean for inflation and interest rates. And we can see from the weekly movements in the markets that there remains a high degree of uncertainty. And I guess we'll have to wait until after the 20th of January when Trump is inaugurated to get a better sense of what his policy agenda looks like. I don't think we're going to have to wait too long. The expectation is that he will start to implement policy fairly quickly and will issue a number of executive orders that will outline what he is trying to achieve in terms of key policy agenda items. The second area that's in big focus is the fact that the US economy seems to be growing at a solid pace, particularly the labor market remains exceptionally strong. But what that's doing is it's feeding into more anxiety around US inflation. The inflation data itself is struggling to make meaningful progress towards the 2% target. It seems to be stuck, certainly core inflation at above 3%. And I guess if you look at a range of other data points, that's also suggesting that there's a renewed underlying inflationary pressure. Particularly household inflation expectations have moved up to well over 3%, and that'll concern the Federal Reserve. We've also seen last week the ISM services index, the prices paid component of the services index, has increased appreciably. And so there's this concern that if you combined a strong US economic performance, particularly a strong US labor market, and you combine that with Trump policies around import duties, you may find that you end up with more inflation. What that obviously would then mean is that the Federal Reserve has to be very cautious on any further interest rate cuts. And already the Federal Reserve has expressed a high degree of caution regarding further interest rate reductions. And right now, the financial market is pricing in only one additional interest rate cut out of the US during the course of this year. And if we go back just a few months, there was an expectation of three or four interest rate cuts. So the views around US interest rates have changed, and obviously that's negative for US bonds, and it is pushing back on expectations around what the US economy will do during the course of the year. And as a consequence of that, the valuation of U.S. equity. So not a great set of circumstances. The truth is, though, that the underlying growth dynamic of the U.S. economy remains certainly very robust. The labor market creating 256,000 jobs during the month of December, that's exceptionally good. And there's nothing to suggest that the U.S. economy is going to weaken appreciably. I think what we need to get our heads around is what sorts of policies Trump is going to implement and how negative that will be for inflation and U.S. growth. And I think it's probably going to end up being more hype than reality. I do expect that he will implement a set of measures at the start of his presidency, but I think when we digest those measures, I don't know that it's going to have that substantial an impact on some of the key macroeconomic parameters like inflation and economic growth. So I'm hoping that the noise around the Trump presidency starts to quieten down after the first couple of weeks that he's in office, and we start to get a better sense of what his policy framework is likely to mean. If that does materialize, then I think there's room for retracement of some of the losses that we've seen in bonds and equities. But nevertheless, it's clear that it's going to be tougher going for financial markets as the U.S. Continues to try and balance a range of competing forces. It's not easy to implement policies that are trying to encourage domestic economic activity at the same time that you've got a set of policy measures that are trying to bring inflation under control. So I think it's going to remain uncertain, remain a bit volatile over the next few weeks until we get a better sense of how Trump is going to approach his policy framework by the middle of the year.
Currently trading at over 19 rand to the dollar and has weakened appreciably in recent weeks. In fact, it is one of the worst performing emerging market currencies year to date. And therefore, I think it requires a bit more of a fuller discussion. Now, some of the rand's recent weakness can obviously be ascribed to dollar strength. The dollar had a very good 2024, and that has continued on during the course of this year. And there's no doubt that part of the rand's weakness is attributable simply to a dollar outperformance. But if we look at the rand's performance against a basket of currencies or look at it on a trade-weighted basis, then it's weakened more broadly. And so this is not purely due to dollar strength. This is more reflective of underlying rand weakness. If I look at the factors that are causing that rand weakness, I think there's a range of factors that are contributing. I think it's difficult to ascribe it to one single factor. So a couple of points to make. The first is that South Africa has systematically become much more import intensive, and I think that has a big impact on how the currency performs. And right now, my suspicion is that companies are placing additional orders for imported goods after the strong showing at Black Friday and because of two-pot spending, and there may be some restocking going on. So that would certainly help to weaken the currency a little bit. The other factor is that if we look at foreign buying of South African bonds and equities, that's been under significant pressure. In fact, foreigners have been net sellers of South African equities in each of the past 19 months. That's a huge outflow. Something like $12 billion have left South Africa over that time period. Equally, if I look at foreign purchase of South African bonds, it came under renewed pressure after the October medium-term budget policy. And I think there's less interest from a foreign investment perspective in South Africa's story. The third factor, I think, is that South Africa is just not offering a growth opportunity for foreign investors. If I look at our underlying growth momentum, it remains very lackluster. We had a disappointing third quarter GDP estimate. And yes, obviously, we've got the two-pot spending that is boosting the fourth quarter. But the underlying growth dynamic is fairly weak, and we're struggling to get the growth of this economy above 1%. Now, clearly, there is a focus on private-public partnerships and trying to get some of the infrastructure spend going, but clearly that's going to take some time, and we're not going to see the benefit of that for a couple of years. And so I think in the interim, South Africa's not offering foreign investors a good growth story, certainly not relative to other emerging markets. And then the final point I think to make is that South Africa is still heavily exposed to exports to China. We know China's growth rate has been a bit lackluster. And at the same time, Trump may well implement policies in terms of import duties that negatively affect South Africa's exports or potential exports to the United States. And so the combination of potentially exports coming under pressure to the US, exports to China not doing especially well given the slowdown in the Chinese economy, that's equally not good for South Africa's balance of payments, and therefore it does at the margin put some downward pressure on the currency. So I think The rand's weakness can be ascribed to a range of factors. I think a lot of it is domestically driven. Some of it is because of dollar strength. But overall, it's very difficult to see how South Africa can turn that around. In order to get the rand to strengthen appreciably and certainly go stronger than fair value, we would have to have a much more compelling growth story that encourages foreign investment back into South Africa, and we just don't have it right now. So I think, unfortunately, the rand remains structurally weak. It tends to have a weakening bias. That doesn't mean it has to be significantly undervalued, but I just don't see the rationale for arguing for substantial and sustained rand strength. It's more likely that the rand will remain under constant pressure until South Africa is able to generate a more compelling, a more convincing growth dynamic. And if at the same time there's less anxiety about what a Trump administration might mean for a country like South Africa, I think the rand will remain a little bit weak until we get more favorable economic conditions, which don't appear imminent.
So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.